Good day, and welcome to the A Small World Earnings Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jan Loescher, CEO of A Small World. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Chantelle. I would like to welcome everyone to this earnings call for A Small World's 2020 H1 results. Thank you for your continued interest in A Small World, especially during these turbulent times we find ourselves in right now. My name is Jan Loescher. I am the Chief Executive Officer, and I will lead you through today's call. The call will follow the presentation named 2020 H1 Results Presentation. In case you have not downloaded this document yet, you can find the link to it in this morning's press release, or you can also go straight to our corporate website, www.asmallworldag.com/financial-reports, where you find all our financial documents and you can download it from there. During this call, I will touch on the operational and financial highlights for the first 6 months of 2020. As usual, I will present a few select deep dives to provide additional context where we think it makes sense. And in the end, we will also open up for a brief Q&A session. So starting on page number 2 of the document, I would like to briefly recap the Small World vision for context. So Small World is the world's leading travel and lifestyle community focusing on experiences, the modern day definition of luxury. Centered around the Small World social network, we operate a digital travel and lifestyle ecosystem which inspires our members to travel better, experience more, and make new connections. Moving on to page number 3 for an overview of what we just heard and an overview of our businesses. The Small World Group consists of 7 businesses today that make up the Small World travel and lifestyle ecosystem. At the center is A Small World, our social network, which attracts customers with a high willingness to spend on travel and experiences. And this interesting audience then creates demand for other businesses around it, ranging from events to the world's leading nightlife concierge, the world's finest clubs, to bespoke travel arrangements and hotel bookings for A Small World Private and the A Small World Collection. In short, with the Small World social network, we attract our customers and then increase our share of wallet with them with our additional businesses. Now, let's move to page number 5 with the operational highlights for the first 6 months of the year. Most importantly, with the launch of the Small World Collection in July, so technically not in the first half of the year, but like with all the work that has been done in the first half of the year, it's still worth mentioning it, we have reached a major milestone for the company. With this step, we have now completed the build-out of our travel and lifestyle ecosystem. That means all the businesses we wanted to have are now fully operational, and this is a moment worth celebrating. Strategically, this will now allow us to shift our focus from building new businesses to improving them by making them more effective and more efficient. Also, we of course have to talk about COVID-19, which has had a significant impact on all our businesses, limiting the overall growth of our group. Social distancing restrictions led to cancellations of virtually all of our in-person events, and travel restrictions led to many booking cancellations in the travel business, with very little new business being generated as uncertainty about travel rules and travel restrictions persist. For a business like ours, the challenge to grow and maintain something like a business as usual was very real. And at the same time, there were a few positive elements as well. We saw strong prestige membership sales and a good demand for first class and more flight packages and upgrade strategies, which were both fueled by an increasing demand for safe travel, especially in the form of business and first class flights, and by clever marketing by our teams, which sort of helped to sell these services. Given the challenging environment, we've also taken measures to reduce our cost. which has helped us to maintain profitability despite the environment and despite the ongoing investments into the launch of the A Small World collection in July. In terms of what that means for the financial results, you can see the headlines on page 6. Revenue grew at 4.4% from 5.7 to 5.9 million in the first half of 2019 compared to the same period last year, and this despite the challenging environment that I had mentioned earlier. In terms of profitability, we would say we've maintained profitability on the same levels as last year. We've achieved 0.4 million of EBITDA compared to 0.5 million for the first half of last year, and that's despite, like I said, the environment and the investments that we had to make into the Small World collection for the launch in July. In terms of net income, we were exactly on par compared to last year with 0.3 million Swiss francs for the period, and that resulted in earnings per share of 0.03 Swiss francs per share. The member base year-on-year grew by 11% from 54,831 in June 2019 to 60,821 in June 2020. In terms of cash position, we stood at 3.8 million per the end of June. But in summary, I believe this is a result we can be proud of. Our businesses have been highly impacted by the global health crisis, but we managed to grow our business regardless, even though it was on a smaller scale. In addition, we also had to offset the investment costs for a launch of the Small World collection and still managed to keep our profitability during these difficult times. I believe this demonstrates the resilience of the business that we have built and gives you an indication of what will be possible once we come out of this health crisis and can return to something like a business as usual. After the operational and financial highlights, we are now moving to the reporting of our two business units, subscriptions and services. For participants who have just joined the call, the basis for this presentation is a document called 2020 H1 Results Presentation, and you can download it from our corporate website. You'll find the link in this morning's press release. So moving to page number 8 with an overview of the highlights for the subscription business. The subscription business was primarily driven by prestige membership sales for the first half of the year, while other areas slowed during the health crisis. Overall, the segment grew by 2.1% for the period compared year on year. And year on year, we've also experienced continued membership growth with 11% member growth year on year. So most importantly, as I mentioned, was that the Small World Prestige memberships saw strong demand due to business and first-class flight upgrades, or like the requests from members to do that, which they can do with the miles that come with that package. Regular Small World signups slowed during the Corona months, so we had actually started quite strong for the first months of the year, but then as soon as Corona started, we saw new member rates going down, but we anticipate that to improve again when we have real-life events resume, which is a strong driver for signups. Unfortunately, also World's Finest Clubs, the world's leading nightlife concierge, saw very low renewals and almost no new sales, as the nightlife business was especially strong hit, with only about 20% of nightclubs operating from within our from our network. Overall, it's when you see the EBITDA margin for the segment, it looks like that profitability for the segment took a bit of a hit. But I also want to make sure that I state that this is also due to accounting reasons, and we will actually see that normalize again for the full year as we move into the second half of the year. So please don't read too much into it. The profitability has not suffered in a strong way, but it hasn't grown as much as it should have had during regular year. As mentioned, and as we'll see on page number 9 as well, the Prestige membership was the most important source of sales growth for the period for the segment. As a reminder, the membership has a regular price of €5,200, and it is one of the more expensive memberships for the Small World community. What it does, it comes with 250,000 miles and more award miles, which can be used on flight awards. So you can book business class flights or first class flights, or you can upgrade your economy flights to business and first class. And you can do that in sort of a cheaper way than you could if you would buy those flights outright. And in a period where safety for traveling was an important topic, we managed to basically sort of use that theme and sell more memberships with that claim to make travel more safe, and with the promotion that we ran over the last few months and also into the second half of the year. In short, we actually sold more memberships during the first half of 2020 than we sold during the full year of 2019. We do not necessarily expect that to continue for the full year. I think there's naturally a saturation point that we will hit, but it's very impressive that during a time where not much traveling is actually happening, we managed to sort of almost double the sales for this membership. So this is one of the few bright spots during the first half of the year. Also, moving on to the next page, we launched an initiative called Kind of Spreads Faster in March, as soon as the corona outbreak had happened, where we invited members to bring their friends into a small world and show everyone that kindness can actually spread faster than any virus. So that was the image that we wanted to create. You'll see on that chart that's where members have engaged and how many acts of kindness, as we labeled them, measured as new signups, messages, likes, and so on from users, have taken place during the roughly 1.5 months of the initiative from sort of March going into May. In terms of financial impact, this didn't really sort of have a positive impact on the financials because we had sort of people joining for free, but it increased activity, it increased awareness, and even though it had no immediate business benefit, there's obviously a potential to convert these free members into paying members over time. And also, I think from a perception point of view, we got great feedback from all our members that we were trying to keep the spirit high and keep people in touch through the technological means of our platform. This concludes the highlights for the subscription segment, and we're moving on to the services segment on page number 12. The service segment grew slightly faster than the subscription segment with an increase of 8.2% year-on-year. The segment as well saw mixed performances across different businesses due to Corona. On the positive side, First Class and More, our smart luxury travel service, saw their service revenues go up for the similar reasons as we saw the increase in the Prestige membership, mainly to help people to find a cost-effective way to travel business and first class by selling them flight packages or upgrade options. Unfortunately, other businesses were impacted more and were more difficult to sort of keep on track during this period. So, for example, our events business was reduced significantly during the health crisis. The social distancing rules made it virtually impossible to host events. We had decided in mid-March to do a global stop of events, and we've now, in August, slowly reintroduced events in a few places where it makes sense, but still on a much lower scale, and sort of always with the risk that we will have to cancel them again. So the events business clearly impacted by the health crisis, and also the travel business, specifically a small world private, with its bespoke travel arrangements. We've seen the business dry up, so more everything that was booked was basically canceled and we haven't so far seen a strong recovery to have more travel come in. We discuss certain travel options with members. We also did a push now in August to sell safe travel options to our members, and we have generated a lot of interest. Having said that, people leave it to the last minute to actually buy their travels due to the ongoing fluctuation in travel restrictions and new travel bans being issued almost on a daily basis. So people leave it to the last minute to see if they want to book or not. But definitely not an easy business to be in as well during this health crisis. And on the positive, what you can see from the EBITDA margin, the margin for this business where we have turned positive compared to the first half of last year. I mean, it was positive for the full year. So we maintained that. So there is definitely, it's maturing our service business. And looking forward, the most important aspect of the service business was the launch of the Small Work Collection in July, which a business that I want to present a bit more over the next few pages of this presentation. So going to page 13, the Small Work Collection is our latest service business and was successfully launched in July. Like I mentioned, a major milestone because now all the businesses that we wanted to have as part of the Small World travel and lifestyle ecosystem are now in place, which is great. For this specific business, the basis of the technology came from the acquisition of Luxury Bear, the luxury travel agency that we acquired early last year. I mean, we took their online hotel booking platform and improved it and made it a lot better. We also built three completely new front ends. So we scrapped our old front ends and built new ones for web, iOS, and Android, all within the Small World environment and with the Small World design. The result is a more modern and more intuitive and highly visual booking experience with a distinctive look and character. And I am very proud of this latest addition to our service lineup. In case you haven't seen it yet, you can access it directly from your phones or from your web browser by going to www.smallworldcollection.com or from your Small World app. It's open to members and non-members alike. So in terms of offering, the booking engine actually caters to high expectations of Small World members. So it's a high-end booking platform. As such, we only feature hotels we love. So the selection of the hotels is curated, and we don't strive to be a booking.com with all hotels in the world, but to have a catered offering. And in terms of rates, we always offer two rates, the lowest rate and the Small World preferred rate. And we're going to sort of, again, give you a bit more details what that means over the coming pages. So page number 14, the first USP of our collection is our curated list of hotels. So all our hotels are handpicked, and we only feature hotels we love. So the implication is that none of the hotels that we have on the platform are bad hotels, and whatever our customers book, they should have a great hotel experience. So they don't have to do the search for a place where they don't know hotels. And instead of having 500 hotels in a city like Madrid, we have four, and those are the ones that we believe our members or our customers will appreciate, and they can pretty much book blindly. We have, for our launch, we had 600 hotels, and we plan to expand that selection, but we will maintain our high-quality standards. So the goal is not to be comprehensive, but to have a good mix between different price points, although it is at the high end of the market, and different styles, so that we offer the right variety, but we don't go into the direction of having too much choice or having poor hotels in our collection. The second USP, which you see on page 15, is our choice of rates. We always offer two rates to choose from for our members, and you will see the card as it's shown in the web browser for a luxury double room here. I don't remember which hotel that is, but this is how it presents itself. So you can either choose the lowest rate that we have on offer, which is comparable with most of the other booking sites due to price parity. It's the same price that you find in most places. And with the tick marks, you can see what you get with that rate. And next to it, you will find the exclusive Small World preferred rate, which is a booking rate that we offer exclusively on a Small World, and that comes with many exclusive perks. You see from the tick marks here, for example, here it's a daily breakfast for two, room upgrade on arrival, food and beverage credit, which is usually $100, early check-in, late check-out, and complimentary Wi-Fi. And for some hotels, the price is actually the same for the lowest rate or the preferred rate, like you see in this example. So it's pretty much a no-brainer to book it with us. For other hotels, it could be that the lowest rate is slightly lower and the smaller preferred rate is higher. But given what you get in terms of benefits, it might still make sense to book the higher rate and go with the smaller preferred rate. So the idea is that with the combination of always having a great selection of hotels and two rates that you can't find anywhere else, it makes complete sense to always go and check hotels in the Small World first, or even if you already know which hotel that you're going to check whether a Small World features it and see what the difference is in price between the lowest rate and the Small World preferred rate, and then choose the rate that makes most sense to you. Also, a great USP in page 16, maybe a bit less so than the other two, is the way it looks and feels to book with the Small World collection. As I said, we completely redesigned the front ends from scratch. Here you see pictures from the web version, and the new design focuses on visuals. Text is reduced, and it creates, in essence, a high-end booking experience also from a visual point of view. And much more, many more images, less text than other pages have to really give it a distinct feel. Page number 17, we also offer a seamless experience across web and app. That means all the different platforms work together. So you can, and all the functionality is actually present in all the platforms. So you can book on web, you can book on mobile, you can book on iOS and Android, and it all goes to the same backend. So it means that when you've booked it on web, you can change it on iOS or the other way around. So you can see your reservations and can modify them or cancel them if you want to. And all the platforms offer the same great visual design, and so it feels consistent across the platforms. Give me 1 second. A technical issue here. Okay, here we go. Apologies, my PowerPoint just crashed. So page 18 also illustrates that we're obviously not doing this alone, so we have great partners that we're working with to offer such a great portfolio of hotels and offer all the benefits to our members that we have as part of the Small World preferred rate. Here you see the different organizations that a Small World is part of and that allow us to offer these rates. So first of all, we are part of Virtuoso, the organization of independent luxury travel agencies. We're part of Hilton Impresario, Waldorf Astoria and Conrad Hotels are part of this group. We're part of the Hyatt Privé preferred travel agency, we're part of the Peninsula Pen Club and also a member of the World's Leading Hotels of the World. And we have other great partners that help us to offer this great offering that we have for our customers. Slide 19 offers a short overview of how we think about the collection strategically and where we want to take it. Obviously, we know that the demand for travel is currently depressed. It's not the best time to be launching a new travel service. We're absolutely aware of that. But we look at this more mid or longer term, and we've started all the work, so we followed through with it. And we want to be well-positioned when the world starts to travel again. So For A Small World, the collection provides a completely new revenue stream and allows us to further monetize our travel-savvy audience and leverage the synergies with our other services. As mentioned earlier, it's open to non-members as well, so it's not just limited to Small World members, which further increases the potential for selling hotels themselves, but also the cross-selling with other services and to gain new members. We had 600 hotels at launch. We already increased them to 650, the most recent stat. We probably want to go beyond 800 before the end of the year. So the goal is to probably be then reach 1,000 quite soon in early next year. We believe that sort of the number that we want to feature is somewhere around 1,200 hotels. So we've identified already which ones that we would like to add. And we will steadily work on increasing the number of hotels while maintaining the quality, but then providing a better offer of hotels for all the different travel locations. The service will obviously be promoted in the Small World news feed, on our social media, in our Small World Explorer articles, and that will help it to increase visibility and gain more reach. And we're also planning an affiliate program to leverage third parties to promote the service as well, which we will probably start at some point in the second half of this year. So overall, very exciting to finally launch it and to finally sort of have this live. And we're looking forward to how it can contribute to the group over the in the near future, in the mid-term future, once travel actually becomes a hotter topic again. Now, after sort of the detailed or a more detailed view of the subscription segments and services segments, we will now go to the consolidated financials, starting on page 21 with the income statement. Obviously, on our website, you will find a more comprehensive financial report that you can download from there. But we're going to go through the highlights here to give you a bit of an overview of how to make sense of the numbers. So for the income statement, page 21, most importantly, and as previously noted, sales increased by 4.4%. Due to growth from both business units, a bit more from the services one. It is also worth noting that the direct expenses increased quite a bit. You'll see that increase in 53%. This is due to higher cost of goods sold for the Prestige membership and the services that First Class and More has provided, which have an input cost. So this is not worrying, but actually a good sign that we sold those services. And on the other side, we reduced personnel cost by 26%, which means so we're getting that the cost that we can control under control right now, or that is a fixed cost. There are a couple of effects here. One is staff reductions that we had to make due to the new circumstances. Luckily, we also had furlough support from furlough schemes in Switzerland and in the UK, which lowered our wages a little bit for the period. And we also had slightly less cost from share-based compensation during the period, which all contributed to that 20%, 26% decrease in cost year on year. Further down the income statement, I would also like to highlight that the financial income position is slightly higher than it was a year ago. This is primarily due to FX changes on the Swiss franc euro rate. We have outstanding liabilities in euro, and sort of this is sort of the appreciating Swiss franc is reflected here in financial income. This, of course, is not a number that we can influence heavily, but it might go in either direction for the next six months. But since it's quite a significant position, I just wanted to talk about it. And in terms of earnings per share, as I mentioned, it's on par with 2019 or the first half of 2019 with 0.03 Swiss francs per share. Now moving on to the balance sheet on page 22. Here we've seen actually quite a bit of movement. This was due to a paid out of 5.6 million Swiss francs, which is part of the agreed acquisition cost of first class and more. In short, 3.7 million that we've paid out were actually due as cash compensation, which were not in scope of the acquisition but stayed in our books. So that was basically paid out now. And 1.9 million was an earnout as part of the acquisition, agreed acquisition cost that we would be paid over time. We have had it in 2019, 2020, and 2021, at which point it will be completed. So as a result, our cash position was actually reduced, so by 3.1 million from 6.9 to 3.8. And on the business side, receivables went down a bit due to fewer events. That's the primary reason for that, and slightly less activity in a couple of other areas. And accrued income increased due to early first class and more subscription renewals and another couple of other few positive effects. And in sum, the total size of the balance sheet due to mainly the payout first class and more was reduced by 3.4 million overall. So you see that at the bottom. So the balance sheet size went from 11.6 million to 8.23 million from year-on-year change. On the next page, you will see the second part of the balance sheet. And here, most importantly, also as effect of the payouts, first class and more, you will see the reduction in liabilities. You primarily see this in two places. Bullet number one is the first one. Other short-term liabilities reduced, of course, significantly from 4.6 million to 0.6 million. So this is a significant change. And then you also see the longer-term provisions that we had in our balance sheet decrease from 5.6 million to 3.6 million. That though both of those are due to due to the payout to first class and more. Then other important changes in accrued liabilities. We saw an increase again due to the prepayments or the payments for Prestige and first class and more memberships, and the long term financial liabilities. It also increased from 2.8 to 4.4 million. This is due to primarily two effects. One was financing provided by Pellegrini Capital, formerly known as Smaller Capital, our main investor, and by government loans that we have sort of taken advantage of as part of the different support schemes during Corona times. Most primarily like 90% is a loan from the Swiss government that we could get at zero interest rate that we sort of used or took advantage of for the business. And if you look at the equity position, you see that it's slightly less negative than it was before. Our accounting policy is to not have goodwill, so we depreciated the whole acquisition of first class and more and all our other acquisitions. So instead of having a big balance sheet, we sort of netted it against the equity. That's why we have a negative equity position to start with, but the positive effect of the year sort of made it slightly less negative. And of course, you can see also here in the last line, the overall reduced balance sheet from 11.6 to 8.2 million also reflected on this balance sheet. Good. Moving on to cash flow, the cash flow statement on the first part of it on page 24. Most importantly to note here is that the strong increase in operating cash flow, which improved by 1.4 million compared to the first half of 2019. I mean, it's a significant increase, and it's a significant achievement that shows the health and the resilience of the business. Really, an important point. I think it's worth stating, and one of the really positive takeaways from today's presentation. Main position that changed. I mean, obviously everything contributed, but we have an increase in deferred income to the Prestige membership sales and the early first class and more renewals that contributed there. And that's why the number is fairly high for the period. Also, we see at the second statement, cash flow statement position, the investing activities cash flow. We see the position of minus of 5.6 million, the payout first class and more there on their acquisition of subsidiaries. Obviously, that's not an acquisition, that's the payout, but it's reflected in that position, which obviously is a major line item for the cash flow sheet for this period. Moving on to the second part of the cash flow statement on the next page, the cash flow from financing activities increased this by 1.5 million. So this is basically what we discussed earlier, the financing that came from Pellegrino Capital, our main investor earlier this year, and then the government loans that we have sort of taken advantage of during the Corona times in April. And that increased our cash flow from financing activities. And then at the bottom, you'll see the net cash change, which was reduced by 3.1 million, which is the sum of all of these effects that we talked about. Obviously, should you like to see the full financial report, you can find it for download on our investor website with this presentation or next to this presentation. Good. Moving on to the outlook for the second half of the year on page 27. I mean, despite the difficult environment, we will continue to manage the headwinds as much as we can and position ourselves for a period of profitable growth after this health crisis is over. And here I would like to make a few specific points, which will be in the focus for the second half of the year. Most importantly, we will continue to drive awareness for the smaller collection and increase or improve our hotel offering so it is well positioned for when travel and hotel bookings will resume. And also, as mentioned earlier, now that the Small World Travel and Lifestyle ecosystem is completely built, we can actually shift our focus to refining individual business and making them more effective and more efficient. Initially, we will focus on the Small World newsfeed. It's one of the elements that we want to focus on, and the networking functionality, so we can actually increase the attractiveness of our service and the stickiness of our users. So it's one of the things we want to look at during the second half of the year. And there are many other smaller topics that we'll be looking at. And now that we sort of kept our heads down, to launch the collection, now we can sort of, I mean, look up again and see what else is most important to be worked at for the overall business. In terms of guidance for the full year results, I mean, we haven't provided guidance for the year so far, and we decided not to reintroduce a numerical guidance or a range, but we are, I'd say, cautiously optimistic, and we expect sales for the second half of the year to be comparable to what we've achieved for the first half of the year. Of course, it all depends on how the crisis or health crisis will continue to evolve. We also, though, expect that we will be profitable or stay profitable for the full year. If you think about it, obviously for the first half of the year, the first 3 months have been sort of, or the first, yeah, 3 months roughly have been normal months, and the other three have been difficult. The second half of the year, we expect the full 6 months to remain difficult before we get a vaccine or anything else that will help with the pandemic. So it's not going to be the most exciting year for us in terms of growth, but it's all about positioning ourselves well, making the necessary steps to stay profitable for the year, which we were confident that we can achieve, and then bounce back as soon as we can go for all out with travel events and everything else that sort of our customers value. So this concludes my update for the first half or the first 6 months of 2020. I hope this was useful, and I would like to open now for a brief Q&A session.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment as we wait for questioners to queue. Our first question will come from Pierre Gontier, Alpha Value.
Yes, thank you, Jan, for this very clear presentation, and bravo for the earnings in the most difficult circumstances. There is a question in the back of my mind, which is really about the success, because it is a success in the business level for H1. How much of that is related to this product, which goes in terms of differentiating the seating positions in aircraft, and therefore, as you said, clients buying distanciation in aircraft are willing to get those upgrades for business class or first class? Is it a significant driver in the resilience of your business in H1?
Hi, Pierre. Good to have you on the call, and thank you for the question. Yes, it is. Maybe a few things to provide additional context. I mean, the product has been, we introduced it in 2018 when we got the sort of basically like work with all the different companies to provide it the benefits for it. Most importantly, Miles & More, so the loyalty subsidiary of Lufthansa, the Lufthansa Group, and also Etihad in the Middle East, among other partners. And the product has actually been popular sort of since its introduction, and we had good sort of steady sales with the product over the last, I would say, 2 years. When Corona hit, we were obviously sitting down and thinking, like, what can we do during this period? Because it was hard to get new members in for Small World, who usually join for events or to meet up with people, and all of that was obviously not happening. And so we pivoted in terms of our marketing and our sort of using our brain power for the Prestige membership. And we also managed to get a deal with Miles & More with a slightly lower cost for the product, which then allowed us to go out and promote the product as a with a special offer and through our different sales channels, and with the positioning of, hey, wouldn't you rather like travel business class or first class instead of economy during sort of these times, and like where you want to be socially distant from others. And that was sort of the angle which we've approached and marketed quite successfully during the first half of the year. I mean, the price helped, the claim helped. And yes, I mean, it was if it wasn't for the product, we probably would have had negative growth in the subscriptions business for the first half of the year. So it definitely compensated sort of the slightly below expectation growth that we had in the regular membership and in the regular first class and more sort of memberships and small arts memberships. We look at it in a positive way and say, well, I mean, it's great that we managed to pivot and push this product during this time where the others were a bit more difficult. So I guess it's the beauty of having a couple of different products that you can sell. But we actually will probably see it reverse and sort of becoming less of a sales hit in the second half of the year, or probably even next year, as we had a saturation and sort of probably milked that cow quite well. And we will, but then hopefully see a pickup again in sort of the regular memberships as they go up. So I hope that kind of gives you a bit more context for the question. I'm not sure if I 100% sort of answered it, so feel free to add more precision to the question or if you have a follow-up to it.
Well, that's very clear. Thank you. And I have another question, if you may. It's about the business model on this small word collection website, do you get a share of the actual spending of the clients on a per room basis and whatever they spend on top? How is it built up?
Right. Good question. Apologies. I should probably should have built that into the presentation. It's actually a pretty straightforward business model that most online travel agencies or that sell hotels are following. So it's a commission-based structure. So in essence, you need to have an agreement with the hotel that you can feature the hotel on your booking engine, whether that is Booking.com or Expedia or us. And once you have the agreement or as part of the agreement, you also agree how much of a commission you get on the sales of a booking. The standard rate is 10%, which is what we're getting for most hotels. Sometimes you can negotiate it slightly better, but we don't have a strong pricing power yet in the market, so we usually go with the standard rate, or we have the standard rate. And we basically, we don't keep inventory, so all we do is we pass on the credit card information to the hotel. The hotel then charges the customer, and once the payment has been made, we then claim the 10% commission back from the hotel at the end of the stay. And this is how the model works. And so if you spend $1,000 on a weekend somewhere on hotels, we will probably get 100 of that in a month's time from now. So that's in simple terms how it works with an example.
Okay, thank you.
And sorry, no extra. We don't get any extra from additional spend. So if they go and have more food or dinner there, that's for the hotel. We only get something on the actual hotel night.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Our next question will come from Marie Grebner, H&A Investment Banking.
Yes, good afternoon, Jan. Thanks for the presentation. A couple of questions from my side. The first one relates to just nitty-gritty, the accounting impact of Prestige. What is exactly that put pressure on the profitability in the subscription segment from the Prestige membership accounting? Or better yet, how high was that impact?
Hi, Marie. Good question, and the right one to ask. So the reason why it leads to a bit of pressure is the way we have to recognize cost and revenues and from those products. So as with all our subscriptions, we usually have to sort of account for them over the periods of which they are valid. So for most of our memberships, it's 1 year. And then you basically account for it with 1/12 each month. Mm-hmm. The Prestige is slightly different because it has a higher cost component with so we have to purchase the miles and some other benefits from our partners, and mm-hmm. We have to recognize the cost immediately as it basically as it is sold, and then that portion of the mm-hmm. revenue, and then over the next 12 months, we will recognize the rest of it, which is basically the profit. So in that sense, you could say it's front-loaded in terms of cost, but then the profit comes in afterwards. And mm-hmm. since we sold a lot of the memberships in towards the end of the half of the year, we have sort of seen full cost, but only in some cases only a 12th of the profit yet. So mm-hmm. in a way, you can almost say this is a good thing because we have sort of profit in the bank that will just accrue over the second half of the year without having to sell anything. But it will it kind of artificially reduces the profitability a bit short term due to the volume of what we had.
Okay.
Is that clear? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a lot clearer. Second question is what is the breakdown between regular and prestige in terms of your 60,000 members? And so what? So the second half, you won't have any growth in prestige anymore? Is that how we should understand this?
So we I mean, we have so far not really sort of published the exact relationship, but we always said it's sort of 99% access and the rest is prestige or others. Maybe now with the regulars a bit slowing and having a lot of them here, it's maybe 98% access and a few more of the prestige. But it's definitely not something that goes into like a meaningful balance or anything like that. It's still a way smaller group.
Okay.
But having said that, the sales, look, I don't think we'll have extremely strong sales in the second half of the year for two reasons. One is we kind of had a special offer with a lower price, so which is running out at the end of August now. So we was offered from our partner Miles & More, and we said, hey, can we push it a bit? And sort of that helps to have it discounted, which always is a sales incentive. And then I think with our target audience that we have, we kind of pushed the message fairly hard over the last 3 months. So I think there's probably a saturation. Like everyone who wanted one probably bought one by now. Unless we manage to get a whole new audience or like in the second half of the year, like, we'll probably be a bit more difficult to maintain the pace of these sales. So I expect them to be a lot slower for the second half of the year. Having said that, we had repeat customers that, bought every year by now, so we can only sell one membership per person in a year. Having said that, given that flight activity is restricted and the miles are usually the main sales argument, we actually don't know whether people can use their miles anytime soon, meaning they probably sit on a bit more miles than they need, which also means they might not renew that often or likelihood that they renew is a bit lower. So all of that means, look, we're very happy that we managed to have this great push in H1.
Yeah.
We expect it to slow down in the second half of the year, and then probably it will pick up again as soon as actually air travel will sort of resume in a meaningful way, and that will be at some point next year. Or like, I mean, if it comes earlier, I'm happy too. But like, so it will probably not be on par with the first half of the year. I mean, we have to give you a bit more positive view. I mean, we had quite a bit of sales still in July and August. So still, I mean, that's we won't have nothing in the second half of the year. But it will be definitely not be the exact same amount as we had in the first half of the year. We will see the positive impact from the accounting practice that we have with the 12 months on the profitability in the second half of the year. So that will help that part.
Okay, got it. And my second question was related to your to the cash and sort of, you know, cash burn or cash creation in the second half. So you had 3.8 million at the end of the first half. You took a hit with the earnout for First Class and More of 5.6 million. Other than that, operating cash flow was positive to the tune of 1.1. Can you give us some light on the cash needs in the second half and whether the 3.8 are enough or whether you have plans to kind of bolster that cash cushion?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we can say that. So we will have a bit of a cash need for the earnouts of First Class and More from, as I said, one we paid, and there will be two more payments. They won't be as high as what we did now, because now it was also a cash position that was actually not part of the sales scope that was paid out. So it won't be like in the range of 5 million again. It will be less.
So how much more or less for first class and more? How much do we have
It will probably be like 2.5 million in total over the course of the next 2 years that are still going out from there. Look, we have obviously that makes things a bit tight, right, for the rest of the business also, because we haven't achieved the growth that we would have liked to see for this year. So you're right to ask that question. It's a good one. We will definitely have enough cash going into next year, but we'll have to see how we can sort of basically bridge the period into the period of 2022, where all the cash from First Class and More will go to the group and not as part of the earnout anymore. It'll be part of the earnout. Well, at that point, it should be comfortable for us. But we all have to see, like, how we do the budget for the for 2021, whether there is indeed another need for cash or not. We actually still have the commitment from Pellegrino Capital, or formerly Small World Capital, to provide us with a credit of up to $5 million for that period of where we needed to fund the operations. And so at the moment, that should actually be enough to get us there. So,
and what is the what is the interest rate on that loan?
It's the legal. I think it's the legal rate that you have to charge for that. I think it's 2.5%, if I'm not mistaken. But I would have to go and double check. I mean, I can't say with 100% certainty right now, but it's somewhere in that range.
Okay. So $2.5 million earnout left for First Class and More over the next 2 years. So so H2 2020, fiscal year 2021, and fiscal year 2022, or just fiscal year 2021?
No, just 2021.
Okay.
I mean,
and how much
It will then be paid in 2022, but it's for the year 2021.
Okay, got it. And then how much is due in second half 2020, just to be clear?
Nothing. It's an annual.
Nothing.
It's an annual thing.
Okay.
So it will be paid.
Okay.
The next payment will be in March next year.
So other than that, you should be generating some cash therefore in the second half, or you know, or are there any capex needs or any big investments or any paying back some loans or anything?
Not at the moment. I mean, obviously we're a bit cautious with our money right now in this environment, right? So we already like reduced the staff here and there. We're also luckily on furlough, on the furlough scheme here in Switzerland, which was just confirmed for another 3 months, which is helping. The one in the UK has run out. So
the furlough
scheme,
they go until when in Switzerland? Until end of
Now move to like it's 3 months rolling. So we have confirmed for September, October, November. So and then at that point, we have to reassess the situation. I mean, we've been quite lucky that the government here in Switzerland has been, in that sense, quite generous with the support that we got. So it allowed us not to let go of people and keep them on a partial payment from us, payment from the government. That's definitely helpful. But so no other big repayments right now. No big investments at the moment. I mean, we're playing a bit cautious, I would say. Or cautiously during this period right now, especially because we've seen that people have a bit of other people worry about other things right now than sort of our services, unfortunately. So we went in a bit of cash conservation mode and we'll sort of then, you know, reassess the situation if things improve. So I mean, obviously for us the nicest thing would be there's a vaccine at some point can sort of happily like go to events again, travel again and all that. I mean, all those things, I mean, we do all the things that are fun that have been hit very hard, right, with the restrictions. So we went into sort of a bit of a defensive mode for now. And as with the collection, we basically just made sure that it's out there, it's working. We continue to build it so that it's ready for when people have an interest in it. But we actually don't expect it to be a massive contributor for the second half of the year either. So it's, I mean, we've seen that people travel more locally. When they travel locally, they usually know where they're going to go to, which hotel or where they want to go, and then they book directly. So, it's not an ideal moment to launch a service like this, but we make sure we just position ourselves in the right way for when things return to normal again.
Absolutely. Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. At this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Good. Well, in that case, I thank everyone who dialed in for the call. And Pierre and Marie-Thérèse, thank you very much for your questions. If you have any other questions or any thoughts, please just reach out to me. I'm happy to answer all your additional questions. Thank you for your interest in A Small World, and have a great day.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this now concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your phone line and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.